Salt Lake City lawyer Jeff Hunt has seen his fair share of legal proceedings. One place he often finds himself is in front of the State Records Committee. They decide whether a government record should be released if a department has denied a request. Most people might think of journalists when they think of who might be asking for these records, but Hunt says it's much bigger than that.
You see parents going there to get information about their student in school or the way that the curriculum is being administered in this school. You see citizens wanting to get information from law enforcement agencies about themselves, their own interactions with law enforcement. You see private businesses wanting to get certain types of regulatory information from the regulators that are regulating them. So it's really an eye-opener. And the data support that the overwhelming number of requests don't come from the media. They come from ordinary citizens.
This year, lawmakers are proposing changes that could make it harder to access those public records. And that really worries Hunt.
I fear that we're at a tipping point where our statute is really kind of a toothless tiger and does not give the public what they are entitled to in terms of an open and transparent government.
I'm Sean Higgins.
And I'm Sage Miller. This week on State Street, we're talking about sunshine laws, aka transparency laws, and aka in Utah, grandma.
No, not your sweet grandma who might make you cookies. This is the Government Records Access and Management Act, acronym GRAMMA. You might have heard of FOIA. That's the National Freedom of Information Act. GRAMMA is pretty much Utah's version of that. It's the law that allows anyone to request any record that is maintained by government entities here in Utah, with a few exceptions for things like trade secrets and personal information. That's everything from police records, school district meeting notes, data compiled by state agencies, even correspondence between elected leaders if it's related to their official work. It's all game for the public to ask to see it.
But this year, some state lawmakers want to change how parts of GRAMMA work. Before we dive in, we've already heard a little bit about how important this is for the public. But we have a bit of a disclaimer for y'all. We've got some skin in this game.
Yes, we do. GRAMMA is a tool journalists across the state use all the time to access public records and investigate stories. Those book bans we've heard about from KUER education reporter Martha Harris got those book titles from a public records request. Same goes for the Salt Lake Tribune's investigations into the dismissal of Utah's National Guard leader. Or even a story we ran on KUER last week from the Utah Investigative Journalism Project. It found, through records requests, that just a fraction of the money Utah counties have received in opioid settlements have been spent. We've got our eyes on two bills that could change how GRAMMA works.
A little later in the episode, we'll hear from the lawmaker behind one of those bills. But for now, let's get back to what First Amendment lawyer Jeff Hunt told us. All of this matters for you.
Hunt worked with lawmakers to help create Utah's GRAMMA law in the early 90s. I spoke with him about the history and the future of GRAMMA. Jeff Hunt, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure.
Tell me a story about why you believe these laws are necessary.
It's very near and dear to my heart because I was a newspaper reporter for 4 years before I went to law school and became a lawyer. And I used open records laws to get information from the government for reporting on my stories. And since that time, I've represented a number of citizens just trying to get access to information from the government. So my view of GRAMMA is that it's not a statute for the news media. It's a statute for the public. It guarantees every citizen's right of access to information concerning the conduct of the public's business. And that's what we were aiming for 34 years ago. At that time, I was a lawyer and representing the news media and advocating for access to government records. And we spent the greater part of a year developing GRAMMA.
So how does Utah's GRAMMA law stack up against other states that have similar statutes?
At the time that we enacted it, and I would say for the first decade afterwards, we were definitely the gold standard. Other states would look to Utah and say, Utah got it right. They provided their citizens an easy means of challenging denials. And they have this presumption of access and this balancing test. They balance these public and private interests. Even if the government said, well, technically it falls within one of these private or protected categories, but if public interest is overwhelming, then the government or the records committee or a court could order release. And at the time that we created Grandma, there were just 50 exceptions to the list of public records, just 50. Now we have over 200. And so what I've seen is just what I describe as the death of a thousand cuts. Every session, the legislature just creates new exceptions to open records. And eventually the exceptions swallow the whole, right? And I fear that we're at a tipping point where with these recent bills really attacking sort of the beating heart of Grandma, in addition to creating all these new exceptions, that we could be at a tipping point where our statute is really kind of a toothless tiger and does not give the public what they are entitled to in terms of open and transparent government.
With that openness, the perception of the openness tightening some, as you were just saying, what do you make of these proposed revisions to Grandma here in 2025?
Extremely concerned about them. I think that they pose a grave threat to transparency and to open government. The Senate Bill 277, sponsored by Senator McCall, was fortunately amended to take out the provisions that would have ripped out the public interest balancing tests. But there's still a lot of uncertainty about the portion of the bill that would abolish the State Records Committee and replace it with a single judge that would be appointed by the governor and who the governor could fire at will. The neat thing about the Records Committee, in addition to the fact that it's comprised of ordinary citizens from diverse backgrounds, is that you have seven decision makers. You don't have just one, and they're insulated from political pressure. So if you're going to replace it with a sort of administrative law judge model, I think you need to build in protections. You don't want the legislature or the governor to be able to fire that person because they're releasing records that they don't want released. And that's common sense. And hopefully that common sense notion is reflected in new versions of the bill. And so that's where we are right now with that bill, working with the sponsor to try to either preserve the Records Committee and make it work better and get decisions out faster, or if you're going to replace it, to replace it with more than just one judge, maybe two or three, and provide some protections for those judges.
If these bills are signed into law by the governor, what does this tell you about the direction government transparency is headed?
We're headed in the wrong direction. I mean, this is just the latest in a series of bills that point Utah in the wrong way in terms of government transparency, open government, accountability. And, you know, unfortunately, we just don't see too many bills seeking to improve Grandma. One exception this session is Senator Harper's bills, SB 163, which prevents government entity from destroying a record that was subject to a pending Grandma request, which makes a lot of sense and criminalizes that conduct, which we think is appropriate, and also requires regular training of government records officers and Grandma, requires them to review their retention schedules. So we support efforts like that and spoke in favor of the bill. But that's a rare occurrence. Most of the bills are seeking to restrict access to records. You know, the last thing I would say is when I was up at the Hill for the hearing on HB 277, there were so many people that wanted to speak in opposition to the bill that they had to cut them off. They couldn't get to all of them. There were some 20 people who spoke in opposition. There was one person who spoke in support, and it was a government representative. So I think that just shows you how important this is to Utah citizens. They really have a protective feeling about Grandma. And so I just hope the legislators hear those voices and reverse this course and work to strengthen Grandma, not to dismantle it.
Jeff Hunt, thank you so much for your time.
You bet.
That was First Amendment lawyer Jeff Hunt.
So, two bills that could change how Grandma works. One deals with recouping legal fees if a records request goes to court. We'll talk about that one a little bit later in the episode. The second bill is called Government Records Management Amendments, or SB 277. We heard Jeff Hunt talk a little bit about this. In a nutshell, it wants to eliminate that 7-member committee that handles the appeals process for records requests that were denied by government agencies. The bill would replace that committee with one person, a lawyer with expertise in government records. This person would be appointed by the governor and approved by the Senate.
Help us understand why lawmakers think this is a necessary change, Sean.
Well, basically, they think the current system is slow and inefficient, and the committee has not been able to hear appeals fast enough. I was in the legislature's committee meeting where they talked about this bill. Republican Senator Mike McKell took a ton of heat about it from the public, so I caught up with him to hear more about where this bill goes from here.
All right, Senator McKell, thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Oh, happy to be on.
The legislature has tried to reform the Grandma Law before. Yeah. I'm thinking back to 2011. Those efforts were eventually repealed. What makes 2025 different?
I think the starting point is different today. We've completed multiple legislative audits. The governor's office completed an audit. And what we have learned is there are problems with the process. There are problems with the records committee. And we've got some backlogs. And we're willing to tackle the issue. And it's just become more complicated. I'll give you just an example. Last year, we had 85 appeals. About a decade ago, we had about 20 appeals. And that number, we were in the 60s, both 23, 22. And those numbers just continue to climb. And the complexity as well. Now we're issuing subpoenas, we're compelling testimony and evidence, we're imposing fines and penalties and making legally binding decisions, and we're doing it with, we appreciate volunteers, but it's tough. And honestly, it's tough getting 7 people together.
Looking back at some of what happened in the committee,
you
mentioned in your presentation how, and you just mentioned right now, how much these cases have gone up in recent years. One of the points that was brought up, that there was a huge spike during the COVID times.
Yeah.
A lot of people were really concerned about government orders, obviously an interest in getting a little bit more transparency there. Is the backlog we're getting now a product of the times we are in or a product of the system as it works now?
I think it's a product of the system. And some of the testimony that you heard of Rachel Terry from our state risk management, it's a concern for the state. It costs taxpayers money. She expressed concern and looked at the actual trajectory, and it continues to climb, and it has continued to climb. I think coming out of COVID, it was difficult. I think those were hard years for government, hard years for the public, but it was nice having the risk manager for the state to weigh in on that issue, because I think it continues to climb. And the issues become more complicated and more challenging, and that's why I am concerned with the expertise of the volunteer committee right now.
I do want to give you a chance to address some of the criticisms that we heard in committee. Namely, the one that stuck out to me is that this new position would place too much power in the hands of one person who ultimately works at the will of the governor, no matter who that governor is. What is your response to that criticism?
That's the model we use with judges. So we were looking for a model that already exists. So with a district court judge, Supreme Court judge, an appellate court judge, those are appointed by the governor, and that goes through a process with the Senate with advice and consent. We've been working with the Media Coalition, and it feels like they've come to the table in earnest right now. The Media Coalition is concerned about that conflict, and over the next week, over the next 2 weeks, we're going to look and see if there's a better way to address that conflict. Certainly, I acknowledge that the governor's involved, the legislature's involved, but I'd also, it's important to point out that the governor does appoint the volunteer committee as well, and those are approved by the legislature. So if we're trying to avoid a conflict of interest, we have the same conflict of interest with the volunteer committee today. It's the same conflict.
With that said, the two no votes in committee yesterday were actually from your own party, two Republicans, and there were several others who expressed concern with this current version. Where else do you see space for compromise moving forward?
I think there's a lot of opposition just because of misunderstanding the bill. I was really clear right out of the gate that we had taken out the language dealing with the balancing test. That's not in the language. And a lot of the opposition, a lot of the emails to my colleagues were related to that balancing test, but it is out of the bill. I do think it's an open discussion that we need to have. There is a scenario with workplace harassment where the balancing test doesn't protect victims the way it should. I think there's a chilling effect with victims when they come forward knowing that their name could be plastered in headlines. I think that's concerning to me, and I think it needs to be addressed, but it won't be addressed in Senate Bill 277.
Correct me if I'm misunderstanding you. It sounds like you're not against the balancing test altogether. It just needs to be looked at a little bit closer than how it's applied.
Yeah. And that's a fair statement for me. I know there are certainly lawmakers that are concerned with the balancing test. I'm concerned with who applies the balancing test today. I'm really uncomfortable given the nature of the balancing test with a volunteer committee, especially in those difficult cases where victims need to be protected. And yet if there's a pending investigation, the accused needs to be protected. And we need to take that serious moving forward.
Anything else you want to add that we haven't touched on?
Let me add one thing that I think this bill really adds to the conversation. One of the reasons the League of Cities and Towns supported this bill is we want better training. The State Records Committee has done it from the state down, but these record decisions happen at the local level. They happen with cities, they happen with school districts, they happen with our institutions of higher education. And one of the parts of this bill that I really appreciate is the increase in training across the board. Having a director that has a charge to go out and train and make sure we have consistency statewide. Right now, I'll just throw out some data. In 2023, it took 156 days to do the appeal. That's way too long. I think having efficiency, having this system, when we've looked at this model in other states, we see models where records are produced and this transaction, so to speak, happens in less than a month, and that should be our target, certainly.
Senator Mike McKell, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on.
That was Utah Senator Mike McKell.
We're going to take a quick break. When we're back, we'll hear more about another bill that could make public records appeals more expensive for the public. You're listening to State Street.
Support for State Street comes from the Hinckley Report on PBS Utah. I'm Jason Perry, director of the Hinckley Institute of Politics. The Hinckley Report is Utah's weekly political roundup, bringing together Utah's top journalists, political thinkers, and lawmakers to help you understand how politics impacts your life. Listen to the Hinckley Report wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Caroline Ballard, executive producer of State Street. If you love the show, let me just drop a few hints for ways to help us out. Sure, you can do the whole leave a rating and review thing that every podcast asks. That's great, and we would absolutely love it. But why not think outside the box? Host a podcast club, sort of like a book club. You could listen to an episode and get your friends together to discuss. Cue up an episode of State Street when you're on the train or the bus without headphones. Everyone will definitely love it. Or become a member of KUBR. That is literally how we make this happen. So spread the love this year and find out more at KUBR.org.
Welcome back to State Street. I'm Sage Miller.
And I'm Sean Higgins. We heard from Senator Mike McKell about why he believes the current government record system isn't working the way it should.
We mentioned there's another bill that has to do with grandma. It's called Government Records and Information Amendments, or HB 69.
It started life as a bill that addressed the privacy of voter data. Since the 2020 election, there has been a push by some groups to access sensitive voter data as a way of trying to prove voter fraud. A secret ballot is constitutionally guaranteed in Utah. That means who you vote for is your information and your information alone. And this bill wants to double down on preventing sensitive voter data from being released.
But Sean, you said started life as. So I'm sensing a plot twist coming.
You would be right, and here is that twist. The first version of the bill passed unanimously through the House at the end of January. Then the Senate changed it 2 weeks later. Now it includes stipulations that make it virtually impossible to recoup legal fees for a public records case, even if the government loses.
So if I take the government to court over a records case and I win, I prevail, I still have to pay all the legal fees?
Basically, yes. There is a way to get those covered if you are able to somehow prove the government acted in bad faith. But that bar would be so high, it would be basically impossible to clear. HB 69 threw a lot of people for a loop on how it actually would work, myself included. So here's how Hunt explained it to me in our interview.
First of all, it was a terrible process. The portion of the bill relating to grandma and attorney's fees never had a public hearing. There was never an opportunity for the public to get notice and express their views about that portion of the bill. Under grandma, one of the parts of the bill that has been there from the start is that if government makes you have to go to court to get them to turn over public records, and you have to hire an attorney to do that, and you prevail, and the judge says, yep, these were public records, they should have turned them over a year ago, then you shouldn't bear the financial cost of that as a citizen. The government should have to pay for that cost. This is not unusual in Utah law. Utah has all kinds of statutes where if the government is infringing on important rights of citizens, if you have to take the government to court to protect those rights, government pays if you prevail. Why would we treat open and transparent government any different? It's an essential right that we all have to keep our government responsive and accountable to us. And what this does is says, this bill says, you can only get your attorney's fees if you show that the government acted in bad faith. Bad faith is such a subjective high standard. So they created this impossibly high standard in HB 69 that no requester will be able to meet, and you will never be able to get your attorney's fees. And they made it reciprocal so that the government can get attorney's fees from the requester if the government prevails. Now, if you're an ordinary citizen, are you going to risk going into court against the government if you may have to pay the government fees? It's just another roadblock and deterrent from exercising your rights to public records in Utah.
So just so we're extra clear, what would this require courts to do when it comes to who pays what fees?
It would not require courts to do anything. I mean, it gives courts the discretion to award fees if either the requester or the government was acting in bad faith.
So would that mean that each party would be responsible for their own fees?
Yeah, each party will be. Well, all the taxpayers are paying for the government lawyers. And so you're going to be paying for the government lawyers, and you're going to have to pay for your own lawyers to go fight the government to get the records.
So to recap, we've got two possible changes to Utah's Sunshine Laws. One would change who's in charge of the appeals process, taking it from a 7-person committee to one qualified lawyer. And the other creates a financial barrier to even challenge those decisions. So I would have to pay all the legal fees if I prevailed in getting my record request appealed. Where do these two laws stand now?
HB 69, that's the bill about voter info and legal fees, that one's on the governor's desk waiting for his signature. So unless Spencer Cox sees an issue with the changes Hunt talked about, this one is becoming law. Mikkel's bill to overhaul the appeals process is still being worked on in the Senate. And you heard the senator say that he's open to some pretty big changes to address some of the concerns that have been voiced by the public and his colleagues in the Senate. So all eyes on that one as it makes its way through the process. The Utah legislature has taken steps in recent years to curtail how transparent the government actually is. That's things like lawmaker calendars being no longer required to be public. They also made the minutes of some water meetings protected records, so you cannot grandma them.
Things are getting harder for journalists to cover.
Lawmakers keep saying that the ballot box is the public's tool to keep the legislature in check. If you don't like what's happening, just vote us out. But if you don't know what's happening at any level of government, that's a problem.
And all of this brings me back to that one saying, knowledge is power. That does it for this episode of State Street. I'm Sage Miller.
And I'm Sean Higgins. State Street is not possible without our dream team. On the digital side, that's Jim Hill, Raquel Davis, and Eleanor Gomberg.
David Childs and KUER News Director Elaine Clark are responsible for editing and audio production here at State Street.
And Caroline Ballard is our executive producer.
See you next week. David Childs and KUER News Director Elaine Clark are possible. They're human beings. They're doing great.
From KUER.